The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now a discussion arose between some of John the Baptizer's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given them from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. Those of the earth belong to the earth and speak in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on them. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this privilege, this time of worshiping you again, wherever we are, however we are. Another time to worship you together, even despite virtually and in our capacities. So we thank you for this gift, your Holy Spirit, who helps us worship you in spirit and in truth. May our worship of you not just be for ourselves. May it not just be for ourselves. Lord, grant us to proclaim your greatness to others, to bear witness to your dominion, to magnify Jesus Christ, for others to see him, to love him, to worship him, to praise his name. We ask all of these in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Psalm 45 is the last psalm that is attributed to King David. And in terms of musical genre, Psalm 145 is considered a tehillah, which is it's Hebrew that means psalm of praise. Now, tehillah is the word tehillim, which is the Hebrew name for the book of Psalms, is derived from. Now, Psalm 145 is the preceding psalm to the last five hallelujah psalms, that is Psalms 146 to 150. Now, these are the five psalms that are referred to as the hallelujah psalms because they each begin and end with the phrase, praise the Lord, which is English for hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Now, there are five hallelujah psalms, just as there are five sections or books that divide up the book of Psalms. Now, the groupings of five in the Psalms, they correspond with the five books of Moses in the five books of the Torah, the laws of God. So what was that saying is that the Psalms, the whole book of Psalms, is essentially a collection of the musical and liturgical reflections about the laws of God. And so with the five hallelujah Psalms completing, finally, finishing the book of Psalms, what's that saying is that the praise and the worship of God is the culmination of the law of God. That is to say that the worship and the praise of God is the culmination of the laws of God. See, for the law of God, you've read it in Matthew, the law of God is summed up in our love for him, in our praise for him, the praise from our hearts from our souls, from our minds, from our strength. God's law, all of God's law, is finally fulfilled in our praise and our worship, our love for Him. It's finally in these five hallelujah psalms that all the lament and groans of God's people in the psalms find their relief, where all their longings and their prayers find their answer, where all their obedience, their failure, their rebellion, and even their salvation, the story of their lives, they find their meaning and their clarity. So, I mean, what's all this got to do then with Psalm 145? See, again, Psalm 145 is the preceding psalm to these last five hallelujah psalms to God, because it is the final gateway. Psalm 145 is the final gateway through which God's people finally entered the realms of heaven, carrying with them their fivefold praises to the God of Israel. Psalm 145 is the opening notes to the final movement of their music to God. Psalm 145 is the fire in the kindling that ignites the final bonfire of their sacrifices to God. It's through the veil and the curtain of Psalm 145 that God's people enter into the Holy of Holies, into the temple of God, to offer their sacrifice, their offering of praise to God. Now, one more thing about Psalm 145 is that it's written as an acrostic poem. It's an acrostic poem. Now, an acrostic uses the letters of a name or the letters of the alphabet sequentially to spell out lines and phrases about a larger theme. Now, that's from A to Z in English, but in this case, in Psalm 145, it's from Aleph to Tav in Hebrew. Now, while acrostics help us to remember what's in a poem or in a song, in the Bible, to go through the entire alphabet, whether in Hebrew or Greek, that symbolizes a finality, that symbolizes completion, fullness, universality. I mean, that's why Jesus, in the book of Revelation, is called the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. See, Jesus is the fullness of time, the beginning, the end, the completion of creation and history, who possesses the worship and the praise of all creation. That's who He is. Now, in the same way, Psalm 145 as a Hebrew acrostic, from Aleph to Tav, symbolizes the fullness, the completion, the universality of all of creation's praise to God. Not just exclusively by God's people, but by everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, everything. I mean, all of this background, all of this information, just to say that Psalm 145, it's teaching us anew what it means to give our praise to God, to bear witness to His kingdom. Psalm 145, we're learning from it again what it means to praise God and to bear witness to His kingdom. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to praise God? Praise God is one of those religious phrases that's so overused, right? If you're church going, it's church lingo. We say and sing that all the time. Its meaning can be lost to us with use. I mean, it's good for us to consider it again, what praise God means. Now, praise is commendation. That's what it is. Praising is commending. You commend something when you approve of it. You praise something when you value it. You are satisfied by it. When it makes you smile, when it makes you laugh, when it makes you happy, you are commending that thing. Praising is commending. Praise is as simple and profound as saying, mmm, when you taste and eat a delicious dish. It's saying, ah, when you drink and are refreshed. You give praise to the dish, you give praise to the drink when you commend them. Commendation as an aspect of praise is obvious and intuitive for us all. But there's a second aspect. There's a second aspect to praise that's essential and necessary to its nature. Without it, praise is incomplete. Not only is praise commendation, praise is also re-commendation. or recommendation. Praise begins when you commend something. Then praise finds completion when you commend that same thing again to others. There is no praise without commendation. There is no praise without recommendation. Not only is praise commending something by experiencing the joy and satisfaction that you get from something, you recommend it by sharing the joy that you get, the satisfaction that you get from that thing. You sharing it to others, that same joy and satisfaction. Now let's go back to that food and drink example. I mean, you can only properly commend the drink and the dish by tasting and eating and drinking them, when you relish in them and you are satisfied by them. And when you commend the food, you're also commending the chef who prepared it. You're commending the restaurant from where you got the food and drink from. But your praise abides by itself and lies dormant if you keep it to yourself. Your praise is incomplete when it's not made known to others. Your praise of the food only is made complete when you recommend them to others, when you give the restaurant a 5-star review on Yelp, when you take a selfie with the chef on Instagram, when you post a TikTok video about the food. You complete the praise. And some of you are familiar that you know how much I complete my praise of good food on social media. That's what I love to do. I complete my praise of good food on Facebook. Praise begins by commendation. Praise is made complete by recommendation. I mean, that's how praise works. Now, the word recommend can only go so far. As Christians, we don't recommend God as though he's some kind of product or service that people need to try out. Here's a free trial of God. That's not what I'm saying. Now, there are certain influential figures today that notoriously peddle the message of the gospel through these slick marketing schemes. And they profit out of the most vulnerable and impoverished of our society. Now, that's not what I'm suggesting when I say recommend. I don't mean that we then market the gospel. I don't mean to rebrand the gospel or to somehow promote the gospel for gain. I mean, there is another Bible verse that better captures the concept of praise as commending to others. That phrase is bearing witness. Bearing witness. Bearing witness is commending to others what you know to be true. What you have experienced yourself, you're verifying in front of people what you have seen and heard and experienced firsthand. Now, bearing witness is conceptually a legal act based on the law of evidence, an eyewitness testifying in court before a judge and jury. Now, I mean, that courtroom image can seem dull and forensic, but King David in Psalm 145, his bearing witness to the greatness of God is anything but dull, anything but forensic. See, he's exuberant, he's passionate, he's beaming with joy, he's bursting and overflowing with so much ecstasy, with superlative joy and hyperbole. See, we read in verse 3, David repeats the word great 3 times out of redundancy. That's exactly the point. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. See, Hebrew repetition underscores the point. It's writing the words in all caps, bolded and underlined. David wanted so much for God's name to go viral, as it were, throughout all the world. David was so confident of this, that this will happen, that he spoke of this reality in the future tense. He prophesied in verse 4, that one generation will commend to another the praise of God's mighty works. That has been the case. That's been the case now, even today, after thousands of years when David wrote this. Our bearing witness must be from a place of true affection for God, out of joy, out of our excitement for who He is, and also in anticipation for our praises to germinate. It's like a seed. Our praise is germination. It germinates and it proliferates for the next generation to share in. True praise is captivating. It's contagious. You bear seeds and there's fruit and there are flowers. It's what we're seeing all around us. That's what praise does. Now, one other thing about bearing witness. Words. Words are necessary. We need to use our words to bear witness to the gospel. I mean, we've all heard it said that preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use your words. I mean, the point is good. It's well taken, and we must live out and embody the gospel in our lives. But the message of the gospel, the truth of the gospel is not self-evident. The story of the gospel is not self-explanatory. Salvation in Jesus is not intuitive to any of us who are Christians, and to anyone for that matter. In fact, there are essential aspects of the gospel that are just confusing and even offensive to our modern sensibilities. We need words to describe, to clarify. We need words to sing. We need words to persuade, to give an account, to make a case for the beauty, the veracity, the livability of the gospel. We need words for that. Giving praise is more than just having these fuzzy feelings about God when you sing, or you're just having good and positive thoughts about God, no matter how true they are. That's what praise is. But praise is incomplete. It remains dormant without it being shared, without it being declared and sung out loud for others to hear and know, to find out. See, David wrote in verse 6, "The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed. I will declare your greatness." In verse 7, "The faithful will celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." Verses 11 to 12, "The faithful shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, tell of your power, make known to all people your mighty deeds." And the last verse, verse 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever." We need words to praise. We need words to sing. We need words to bear witness. So the question for us is this: in this present pandemic crisis that we're in, how are we to give praise to God? How are we to praise God? How are we to commend Jesus to others? How are we to bear witness to the gospel for others to hear and know in our present climate? We're tempted in our hearts perhaps to say that, how can anyone give praise and thanks to God during such a dreadful time in our world? How can anyone believe that God is good, that God is great, when there is so much suffering, so much evil that we're in right now? I mean, those are real and legitimate questions, and they're hard and heavy questions to ask, and I don't think I can give a satisfactory answer to them. Or is there any kind of satisfactory answer to those questions? But I want to ask another question. Do we only give praise to God when good things are happening? Do we only give thanks to God when we have enough good things to cover up the crappy things in our life? Is that how praise works? Is that how thanksgiving work? I mean, last week we heard from Tim that thanksgiving is not about looking past the bad things in our life for us to then just feel grateful for the good things that we have. That's not how thanksgiving works. No, we learn thanksgiving in all circumstances. We learn thanksgiving despite the circumstances. We're thankful not for the things that can change so easily and so unpredictably. We're thankful for what does not change. We can be properly thankful for what does not change, and God is unchanging. And God is good. He's loving. He's caring. He's compassionate. He loves you. He loves me. That does not change. We can be thankful for that. If anything, our commendation and our witness to the gospel becomes more pronounced and noticeable by how we suffer. By how we suffer. See, our proclamation and embodiment of the gospel becomes more profound, even more compelling when we give praise to God in the midst of our suffering. See, I'm not saying that we become masochists as Christians. It's whenever we give praise to God, whenever we give genuine praise to God, I'm not talking about these vague positive vibes or these empty platitudes or these religious posturing that we can do. It's whenever we suffer in such a way that gives praise to God, that commends His far surpassing worth, His all surpassing sufficiency, His infinite worth and value, His incomparable greatness and superiority over and above our circumstances. We bear witness to the hope and joy that we have in Him. See, especially in this time of pandemic, let's consider how we are suffering as Christians. Let's consider how we are right now suffering as people of faith. What does that say? How are we suffering right now in such a way to give praise to the name of Jesus? Is my suffering bearing witness that my hope and my joy are not in my things or in my loved ones or in my circumstances, but are in Jesus Christ? Do I commend the far surpassing worth of Jesus in the way that I'm dealing with stress, with loss of my job, with marital and family issues, with my sickness and disability, with my loneliness, my boredom, my desperation? I'm not asking these questions just to pile up on us more religious things to do, more pressure for us to perform. That's not what I'm trying to do. I mean, what else do we really have as Christians? What else do we really have as Christians? Should we lose everything? Our careers, our marriages, the people that we love, our friends, our homes, our investments, our sanity, even our own lives. What else do we have? What else do we have to show for in our professed faith? What else do we have but Jesus Christ? But Jesus Christ, whose Spirit lives in our weary hearts right now. He gives meaning to our groans. He gives words to our silent tears. He alone helps us to give praise to God, to bear witness to the gospel of His grace for those around us and for those that we want to reach for the sake of the gospel. Now hear again what David says as he commends to us God Almighty, His greatness, His kingship, His dominion over all. I want us to hear them. Even I want to hear them myself in our present circumstance. The Lord is faithful in all His words. He's faithful in all His words. He's gracious in all that He does. The Lord upholds all those who are falling or on the ground. He'll lift them up. He raises up all who are low, who are beaten down, who are collapsed flat on the ground right now. The eyes of all look to You. You give them their food in due season. God, You open Your hand, You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just and righteous in all His ways. He is so kind in all His doings. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who pray to Him, to call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear Him, who revere Him. He hears their cry. He saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. The Lord is just. Let's give praise to this God, the same God, same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's give praise to His name. This is our God. Let's commend Him to each other through texts, through reminders, through checking in, phoning in. Let's remind each other who this God that we worship. Let's commend him to others who do not yet believe. Let's commend him to our neighbors, to our friends, to our coworkers, to those in your family who are not yet believers. Let's bear witness to God's dominion over us, over this pandemic, and over our world. And we do so in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.